Gentlemen, and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Gareth Jones and I'll be chairing this meeting. I'd like to welcome Councillor Nixon to this meeting. Just a few points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please at least put it on silent mode? And can I ask anybody who's not part of the committee to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? There is no fire alarm planned for this morning, but in the event of an emergency, please leave the building by the nearest exit and staff will show you the way out. On my right, I've got officers from the planning department, and on my left, I've got officers from the legal department. So the procedure is that officers from the planning department will present each application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes at the table,
ten minutes,
and I'll indicate when you have a minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for
up to 10 minutes.
Now, this meeting is being recorded and will be published on the council's website. You may only deal with the planning applications before you in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the new local plan and any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. And the first item, the two items are related. But the first one is the land west of...
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies from Councillors Edgeler, Hood and McEwen.
Thank you. We can now go on to the agenda.
Is there any interest on lobbying?
Councillor Trowbridge?
I have spoken to someone, but only today. I just would like that recorded.
Right, thank you. And now we go on to the two applications. The first one is 21/3462/682/FUL, land west of Stafford, Marion Drive, Castle Fields. I'll ask Ed Handley to present the application before us.
Thank you. This application is relates to infrastructure works to facilitate the ongoing development of the west of Stafford's strategic development location. The development includes four key elements and would provide for developable parcels of land. The elements are the main primary and secondary loop roads, drainage design, acoustic ones and principal areas of open space, as well as engineering works associated with these elements. The proposal would set the broad parameters of these infrastructure works, whilst the detailed appearance of the site and how these elements integrate into the wider landscape would be controlled under future reserve factors applications for relevant phases of the development. The plan and aerial view on the presentation show the location of the site to the west of Stafford, Doxies to the north, the M6 to the west, and Stafford Castle to the south. Photo plan shows the location of the following seven photographs, which give a feel for the application site. The first, a view from the site, view of the site from the Way for the Millennium, looking south. The view across phase two towards phase one, which is under construction, phase one in the background of that photograph. The view from the farm track towards the Way for the Millennium. View from public footpath running through the site towards the existing site compound. View south from the application site. Phase one and Doxy in the background from public footpath running along the ridge east, running east to west across the site. and the view from the way for the Millennium into the site. The motorway runs to the right-hand side of the area shown in this photograph and Stafford Castle in the background. These generally show the topography and the landscape of the site as it is now. Plan 1 is the site location plan. 2 shows different catchment areas in the drainage design and how they relate to the proposed attenuation basins. You can see the proposed bunds and road layout on this drawing also, and the principal areas of open space are indicated by virtue of them not being shaded as impermeable areas. The impermeable areas being the orange and green shaded areas on that plan. The black is phase 1. That lies outside of the application site. Plan 3 shows the primary and secondary loop roads in red, the primary road being that to the top of the screen, the secondary loop coming off the left hand side of that. Plans 4 and 5 show the acoustic bunds in more detail, the acoustic bunds are the blue and red contoured areas on this plan. Following the recent approval of the David Wilson scheme, where one of the concerns raised was debris being brought onto the highway, it's been considered appropriate that an additional condition to prevent this issue being carried forward onto this scheme, should it be approved. That does form part of the presentation and the recommended conditions. The recommendation is that the application be approved subject to conditions.
Thank you very much. Could I ask Mr. Collier to come forward to make his comments, and can I confirm that your comments will strictly relate to this first application?
So as I understand it, this is purely about the drainage and the bund building.
This application is to do with the infrastructure.
Our main concern is we're the only house right at the end of the track that's going to be severely affected by this, is the amount of time and disturbance that this is going to have on our property, on our lives. Wimpy's sort of history with us in the last year or so, we've had very little contact from them. We've had numerous incidents on the road, including a current ongoing police investigation for an assault directly caused by a lack of signage, and we as far as we're concerned, we're just going to be trodden on by Wimpy's, because we are getting no action over problems. There's several health and safety issues which we've raised with them and they've done nothing about. The road's been blocked on at least 10 or 15 occasions by metal fencing that has been part of the site. We've raised this matter with several people, and again, they've done a temporary job, and we've come back again, and it's been all over the road again, because they haven't done it properly. We feel that they are just not fulfilling their end of the bargain and making sure that their impact on us is minimal. So we have little faith in them, and we have little faith in how they're going to build this bund, and we could see it taking months and months and months, and the dust and the noise and road blockage. So we feel that's why we object, basically. We have no idea of time frame. We've asked this question in the past, and initially we did get good communication from Wimpy's. We certainly have not had that in the last 2 years. We were shown plans and things, and we've been made quite a lot of promises, none of which have happened. So that's our objection.
Thank you. Some of the points that you raised are not strictly planning issues. Some of the issues are planning, are to do with planning, and which can be dealt with in this meeting. But thanks very much for your comments, and I'll ask you to resume your seat. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe that Mr. Jacob...
Jacob
Bonehill to come to the table to speak for the application.
So, good morning and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Jacob Bonehill. I'm the Associate Director of Planning from RPS, speaking today on behalf of my client, Taylor Wimpey, West Midlands. I'm a chartered member of Waterhouse Planning Institute, and representations I'm making to you today are my professional opinion. The application before you today seeks permission of various elements of primary infrastructure for the remaining phases of the Burley Fields development. This includes the main primary spine road, the secondary loop road, drainage, acoustic berms, principal areas of public open space and associated engineering works. This infrastructure is required to enable delivery of the remaining 1,000 homes, the new local centre, the primary school and associated public open space that we currently have outlined planning permission as a result of the approved 2017 planning application and subsequent amendments of our approved 2020 planning application, both of which were approved. As you all know, the Burley Fields development forms a substantial proportion of the west of Stafford strategic development location in the plan for Stafford Borough. In total, the Burley Fields development will deliver 1,500 new homes as part of the wider 2,200 homes allocation. The proposed development follows the principles established by the approved master plan to form part of the approved 2020 hybrid application. We've worked very closely with your officers during the preparation and assessment of this application, and I'm pleased to note that there are no objections from any of the council's technical specialists or statutory consultees. In relation to the comments you've just heard, there is a construction and environmental management plan in place that's required by condition, and my client is committed to complying with that. If there have been any issues, and obviously we apologise for any issues that have happened so far, but that provides the control for the construction process, and that is what we should be looking to make sure that any issues that are dealt with can be dealt with correctly through any enforcement action may be required. But there is a mechanism for dealing with those concerns, and indeed my client has just made contact with Mr. Collier and passed on contact details to improve that communication process. So finally, just to say that the proposed development will be a key part in delivering the remaining 1,000 or so homes, the local centre and the green space for strategic allocation. This will enable much needed new homes and supporting services to be built for the benefit of the residents of Stafford Borough. I therefore encourage you to follow the recommendation of officers and to approve the application. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. You may resume your seat now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Does the ward councillor wish to comment?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. We've got no mics.
We can hear.
I'm loud enough, aren't I? I think we did most of the work on this in 2017 when it came back and forward till we got it right, as far as I was concerned. So there isn't a massive amount I need to talk about this today, but I am upset that Mr. and Mrs. Collier haven't been treated with more respect. They're the only house on this estate, the only house that they've got to consider. They've been using their private driveway, and their routine was meant to be put in place to stop any inconvenience for them. And yet, now hearing this, sorry, I hadn't been in touch with Mr. Collier before, so he's obviously happy to deal with it himself and doesn't need me to speak up, but I am upset that Taylor Wimpey haven't been in touch with Mr. Collier and sorting this out. And I do understand where he's coming from, because at the beginning when this started, phase one, I had meetings with Taylor Wimpey quite often, and we'd go on, sort out any little niggles and things that weren't quite right, and they were very respectful with me and myself with them. And we worked with the community, and there was hardly any issues at all. Then the staff changed there. I didn't know anybody. Obviously, other people don't know anyone there. The road was getting so muddy constantly. The builders didn't give a damn. You just wouldn't be allowed anywhere near. And if you went to talk to one of the managers, they didn't know who you was, you didn't know who they was. And all you'd be said is, this is a building site, don't want you on here. And they'd be telling you on your bike. So I do absolutely understand where Mr. Collier is coming from with this. And I do hope, now you've introduced yourself to each other, that isn't just talk here in the meeting, that you will cooperate with the only one neighbour that you need to cooperate. It's not like we're asking you to deal with the whole 400 of of Castle Fields here. It's one person to make sure that these buns are put in place correctly, that the dust isn't impossible for the gentleman and his wife while they're living there, and that the thought process of putting these buns in reflects his farm as well, so that he's not getting the reflex back from the M6 and he's just trapped in some horrible encounter of M6 fumes, basically. So I do understand why he's here. I do have a question for planners because of the dirt on the roads, and I know we have now put in a condition to make sure there is a wheel wash facility, a proper wheel wash facility to stop that annoyance. And it's all right saying there's a process to go through, you go through enforcement and everything else. No one wants it. Who wants to go through that? But I am happy to see that in. But I want to know how enforceable it is and how we protect to say it needs to be a wheel wash facility that will keep the mud off the roads. So it works. It's not they're spraying it down and then half the mud's still going on the roads. So that is my question to the planners. Are we absolutely assured the mud's going to stay off the roads then?
Can you answer it on the basis of the robustness of the condition that the councillor is asking for?
The two conditions that relate to those issues, so conditions 6 and 20, meet the test that the condition needs to meet and are worded in a way to go beyond what we'd normally expect of a development site in terms of the additional condition. The wheel wash facility, the fact that that would be permanent, at least a permanently manned jet wash during construction hours, that's not necessarily a regular condition. Obviously, if the development isn't carried out in compliance with that condition, we do rely on the enforcement team and enforcement investigations to ensure that the developer is in compliance with that condition. The enforcement team do rely on other people, members of the community, people that are impacted, to indicate to them that there is a potential breach.
Is it possible for the wording to be as strongly constructed as the councillor is suggesting that it needs to be? Because to have the condition is one thing, to make the condition effective is another, and we're talking about the effectiveness of the condition.
It's condition 20 which you were referring to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the on the approval of part of phase 2, myself and John Holmes constructed that this condition. So in our opinion it's robust and it does accord with the conditional tests that we apply to the MPPA.
Okay.
Well, I think as strong as we can make it.
What about the condition regarding the respect and courtesy towards the neighbours?
I struggle to see how that would meet the test because it's a very subjective matter, respect towards people. I don't know how we could enforce
Chair,
it.
You'd have to rely on enforcement matters to capture anything that would be like that. So it would be up to the members of the public who are affected to contact enforcement.
And may I come back, Mr. Chairman? Sorry.
You keep speaking up.
Sorry.
All of you.
Sorry. The only thing then that I look at on this site. I've always said it's a brilliant site. I've always said I love the amount of green space around this area. I love the fact the school is going in place. They have already built the part of the primary route to start building the school. I'd love to know when that's going to happen. I keep asking the county, but I'm getting no response, and I know that that isn't down to these guys, that's county, but I would love to know when that's going to start. And I am pleased that the two gentlemen here have spoken, and I do hope that isn't just for this meeting, but I would happily put this up for approval.
Okay, see, you're indicating that the committee approved this application with some strengthening. No, we're accepting the wording that you see.
I'm accepting as officer's recommendation.
Okay. Does anybody else want to speak before I put it to the vote, Councillor?
Thank you, Chairman. Ali, having lived on a building site for the last 4 years, not one of yours, it's what people say at the head office of the building firm isn't always translated down to the guy who drives a dump truck on the site. And I think that's maybe where the problem is. I don't suppose Mr. Colley's having problems with the directors or the operational people at the head office. It's with the people who drive the dump truck or, you know, bring the bricks on. And it's difficult to say to those people, these people live here. We've got to be very careful we don't miss these people there. So that will never happen, but it's unfortunate. Whatever these gentlemen say, and I believe what they say is what they believe, you can't enforce it in any way, shape or form. Short of, as Ed said, if everybody who complains to these people and see if they can get something done. So I would hope. And then you sort about enforcement, Mr. Chairman. We don't have enough enforcement people to enforce things. We don't, you know, if a tree knocks down in 5 years' time, we've no way of knowing if that tree will be put back up. So a lot of it is just you have to accept is where we are in life. But I know that was all I wanted to say. Just, you know. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Cooper?
One or two points. In answer to Councillor Jones's comment just, in terms of how a site's managed, in my experience, it's down to the quality of site management and the disciplines in there. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's just a fact of life. If you've got really good site managers there, they will rule it with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be. It's like, well, that again is down to development. One or two questions. First of all, a couple of them relate to plan two you've got there. The green and orange areas you're saying are the impermeable areas. Just from my own understanding, those are impermeable because of construction, or they're impermeable now? You made the comment during your presentation.
Yeah, so these are the areas that are part of future phases of development on the site.
Mm.
They are, at this point, indicative of the areas that would be impermeable due to future development. So that's areas of the road layout, new housing across the site. So that formed the basis of the detailed drainage scheme that's been put.
Why the attenuation ponds are there?
That's
correct.
It.
Yeah.
And why the size of the attenuation ponds are as they are.
And the other query, again, just from my own understanding through you, Chair, is the right at the top left-hand corner, you've got another orange area. There's no indication of any roads, but I presume that's part of the development anyway, up in the top. Yeah, the orange there.
Yes.
The access shown to it appears to be one road going across the Millennium Way. Is that the intention? That's the only access into that area?
That feeds into Doxy as well. Rich, are you aware of the road? The name of the road?
No, there are.
It's Mallard's Walk, isn't it?
Mallard Way.
Yeah.
It links into the more recent development to the south of Doctor Mallard Way.
Okay, so that's not the only access into that area.
No.
Okay. And
it's there.
Ah.
As well.
It comes right. Okay. And finally, if I could, through you, Chair, you mentioned Mr. Collingwood had raised several planning issues in his presentation. Do you know which those issues were? Did anybody make a note? Some were planning issues and some weren't. You said.
Yes. I didn't make a note of the detail of them, but there was a clear in my mind where there was concern about the way people behaved in relation to the site, and there were other comments made in relation to the way the site was being proposed to lay out and the way that it was being developed, and that's where I was making the differentiation. because there are some things that are within the scope of this committee, and if there are other things that are not.
The two that I picked up in particular were concerns to noise and dust.
Yeah.
So the comment on the noise, that fed back to the applicant, the early stage of consideration of the application, and they provided a further noise survey. That is detailed in the officer's report. Following that, the council's environmental health officer raised no objection to the impact of the proposed buns on the applicant's Hill Farm. In terms of dust, again, there are conditions recommended that the development's carried out in accordance with dust control measures. So the advice from the council's technical specialists are that those measures would suffice in terms of ensuring that there's no harm to me.
So the issue with the buns, which are noise attenuation, which is Councillor Trowbridge was just pointing out, could effectively bounce sound back if they're poorly designed at the farm, which is the last thing you want to do is to be in a bowl of extreme sound. Would the requirement to plant trees or foliage or something along the side of those buns help to prevent the bounce back and indeed enhance sound going forward?
Yeah. So the intention is that the landscaping of the site would be dealt with under the reserve matters application to the phases of development. So this application relates to the infrastructure itself, to the engineering works.
Yeah. Which the bonds are part of.
Yes. So the landscaping then would come forward as a scheme across the whole of that phase of development. The outline consent refers back to parameter plans and design and access statements, which then refer to areas of open space and the requirements for those areas, obviously including areas of green space and planting. So we would expect that future applications for the approval of reserve matters will include significant areas of green space and planting in accordance with that outline consent.
Yeah. And those will, through the chair, come back to this committee.
And we can ensure that we can require that they come back at this committee at an appropriate point.
The applications, depending on their size, would come back to the committee as a special committee, or if they're called in by members of the committee or by the ward member. Yes.
Okay. Councillor Beattie, you indicated.
Yeah, just continuing on from the question of the buns, can we put a timetable on the delivery of these buns? Because that was one of Mr Collier's big concerns, that this is going to go on ad infinitum, or prevent other works taking place until the funds have been completed. That's question one. The other one I'm not sure that we can answer, and that is, it's a private track. I'm not sure whose private track it is, but it is absolutely unconscionable that Wimpy close that track off for their own purposes. That's quite unacceptable. Is there anything that can be done to prevent Wimpy using that track as long as they're not using it properly, or ensuring that they do use the track properly? Are there any conditions that we can have for it?
That would be a civil matter, Councillor Beattie.
I say that in the consciousness that Taylor Wimpy are here, and it is really unacceptable that a property owner is deprived of access to his own property.
Yeah.
It's really not right. And the other question I had was on the timing of the building of the buns.
Yeah. Would Taylor Wimpy like to make a comment on that second one?
Having the buns would be dependent on how we deliver the loop road and the secondary roads. Could we need the access to physically get over there? I only found out this morning. As far as I'm aware, we should not be using that track for access to the site.
Ah, oh, that's.
So I've only just discovered that this morning, so I'll worry something to that.
So are you assuring this meeting that you will take steps to prevent interference with that track as
yes.
has been done in the past?
Yes.
Okay. Is that...
Thank you.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In terms of the...
The funds.
I think it'd be quite difficult to put on some form of time period.
Is the time period showing that through you, Chairman? It's the time period of the building
yeah.
of the bonds, not when it begins, but it's when it ends.
So phase one. So we're looking at the M6 here, and we're looking at noise disturbance coming this way.
Mm-hmm.
Now phase one. Is sufficiently distant from the M6 here to achieve World Health Organisational standards in terms of decibel limits, both indoors and within gardens as well. Once we start pushing through this way, the need for the bund becomes more critical. In order, so once these areas become occupied, we need to be adhering to World Health Organisation levels, and that's when we. The need for the bund will become more critical, so it's kind of dependent upon the build out time.
But we won't need them built before the buildings that go up, but we need the bonds
before they're occupied.
Yeah,
it's a phase.
Well, is that an integral part of the planning application?
Yes,
right.
Chairman,
are you satisfied with that?
I'm happy to second.
Okay, anybody else wish to speak on this?
Can I just clarify what Mr. Wood has just said? So I do remember something about this in the 2017, and it's 54 decibels or something like that for the back garden, and so as we went
yes.
forward. But I think what Mr. Collier's worry is that they'll start the bund, leave it, start it, leave it, do an area, leave it, and he's going to have dust for months and months, maybe even years. Whereas what I understand Councillor Beattie is saying is once they start building these, get them built, get the grass on them, get them so that he gets the least disturbance possible. And that was my understanding of that.
Yeah.
And is there a way to just tweak something so once they've started doing the buns, that is their priority and nothing else happens till they finish them then?
Well, there's a condition on the outline permission from memory which secures the contouring and the landscaping of the buns. So whilst this application looks at the formation in principle, the finer detail will be addressed by the condition on the outline.
Councillor Nixon, you shouldn't be interrupting the meeting.
Thank you.
So there's a condition on the outline.
Okay.
I think this application is just to facilitate those works, to speed them up.
So this application is seeking consent for the size of the buns, essentially. So it's a detailed size. As Richard said, landscaping, delivery, all that will come with the reserve master applications. And as Richard said, there are conditions to control landscaping being delivered, the buns being delivered at the appropriate time, and they are necessary to be in place and to be there and fully landscaping everything else when the cottage is occupied, so they actually serve their function.
Okay. No, that's got me more worried, because that means that, yes, they'll put those buns in place, but the landscaping could happen years later. That means the dust off those buns will affect Mr. Collier for years and years, exactly as I've said, because if you don't grass over huge buns, especially when you've got the motorway right next to it, and you know you've got a great big bun stopping everything, the only place for it to come is back to his farm.
Would you like to comment on
yes,
that?
Yes, sorry, I think Councilman misunderstood what I said. The landscaping will need to be done when the buns are being delivered.
Absolutely
satisfied.
Okay, so we have
issues there with the M6 as well.
Well, that's because the buns are not small. We're talking 6 to 7 metres here.
Yeah, they are big.
Okay, so we have a proposer and we have a seconder for this application for approval. Can you indicate if you're supporting it? So that is unanimous. Thank you very much. We now go on to the second application, which relates to the site, and it is variations of conditions. And I'll ask Ed to speak to this, please.
Thank you. This retrospective application seeks the variation of conditions 49 and 50 of permission 20-32034-FUL, and it relates to phase one of the West of Stafford SDL site. Condition 49 lists the approved plans, and condition 50 relates to ground levels and finished floor levels. The broad extent of areas of cut and fill remain generally as approved, however, the floor levels as built across the site have been amended. The plan and aerial view show the location as the previous application to the west of Stafford, Doxy in the north, M6 to the west, and Stafford Castle to the south. This application relates specifically to the area which is shaded a pale colour to the east of the application site. And on the aerial to the east of this edge line. The photo plan shows the location of the following four photographs taken from within the development. The first view from the rear of an existing Castlefields property on Lara Close. The three buildings in the background are part of phase one. It's a view from phase one with dwellings on Mayock Crescent in Castlefields in the background. You can just make them out through the mist. Another view from phase one, again with dwellings on Lara Close in the background, beyond the fence line. And photograph four is a third view from phase one with dwellings on Lara Close again in the background. So you can see the relationship between the existing and new properties. Plan one, again, is the location plan. Plan two shows the areas of cut and fill. The areas shaded from purple to blue show areas of cut to a maximum of 3.2 metres. So that's where the ground levels decreased. And the yellows through to the reds show areas of fill to a maximum of 3.6 metres increase. The plan also includes the floor levels of each new dwelling. And plan three shows a selection of cross sections across the new development and properties on Lara Close and Mayock Crescent and Castlefields. The sections on the right show the relationship between the existing and the new dwellings. The recommendation is that the application be approved, subject to conditions and to the applicant entering into a deed of variation to the section 106 agreement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed. Mr. Collier, do you wish to come to the table on this application? Thank you. Taylor Wimpy, do you want to say anything?
Thank you, sir. As I prepare, I think I will. So again, good morning and thank you again for the opportunity to speak to you. As per my dissertation this meeting, my name is still Jacob Bonehill. I'm still Associate Director at RBS and I'm still a Chartered Accountant, Adam. So this application seeks retrospective permission to amend the approved finished floor levels of homes that have already been built as part of the first phase of the Burley Fields development, and the full element of the approved 2020 hybrid planning application. During construction, it was necessary to make minor variations to the levels of some parts of the development as a result of detailed design matters, which is not unusual for a scheme of this scale. This resulted in both increases and reductions of levels compared to what was originally before you. Overall, this actually meant the gradients across the site are now broadly shallower than was originally approved, which actually has a benefit for the residents of the scheme because it makes it easier to walk, cycle, and actually travel through sustainable means across the site. So it's actually a benefit of the levels of the site change. As set out in the officer's report, the changes levels are not considered to be significant for what was originally approved, and as such have not resulted in any harm with respect to the overall character or appearance of the development. Particular consideration has been given to the impact of the changes levels on existing adjacent homes. As noted in the officer's report, the impact of these changes is generally marginal and low. Where the impact is more notable, the resultant impact is not so substantive as to make spatial relationship between properties unacceptable. It should also be noted that development as built is in accordance with your design supplementary planning documents, and separation distances remain in keeping within the guidelines set out in that policy document. With regards to the one objection submitted by a member of the public, I draw your attention to the comments from your design advisor included in the officer's report. Unit 124 remains set lower than number 17 Lara Close, and with respect to overall heights of the two properties being similar, the level of increased impact is, as described by your design advisor, to be relatively low. So to summarise, while the development was not built in accordance with the approved plans, the result has actually been that gradients across the development are now shallower, and that's a positive beneficial change. The amended heights are in accordance with your adopted policies and guidance, and as such there is no reason to refuse the application before you today. I therefore encourage you to follow the recommendations of your officers and to approve the application. Thank you for your time again.
Thank you very much. Councillor Trowbridge, do you want to comment?
Always, you know me.
I don't think you'd ever miss an opportunity.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Firstly, I don't see why this isn't a retrospective permission, as those houses that we looked at today on the bus are up. So I gather if we didn't approve this, it'd be quite a big thing, because you'd be looking at what would that be, about £500,000 houses being pulled down. So not something I would look at doing, but I do think that a company as large as yourself shouldn't be making mistakes like this. So if it wasn't a mistake, you have to assume they just did what they wanted, and I never like to see that through the planning department. This planning department has worked very well with Taylor Wimpey, and I hope we don't see anything else like this throughout the rest of the site. That if you see something where you think the heights would be better brought up or down, you work with the planning department and you wait for permission. So my school teacher telling off there, sorry. You mentioned a 3.6 metre height in your presentation. Where exactly is that? And is it something I should be worried about?
Okay. So the 3.6 metres is the greatest of the areas of built on the site. It's actually difficult to see, but there's an area of green that runs there. It's actually to infill a ditch to allow the road to come across the ditch. So most of the areas you can see are yellow and red, the areas of fill, and they would go to a maximum of around 2.8 metres. But these are ground levels, increases in ground levels, not necessarily increases in floor levels of the dwellings.
Okay. I mean, 2.8 metres—that's still a size, isn't it? Really.
Yeah. So the areas of cut and fill across the site are generally in accordance with what's previously been approved.
Okay.
So this isn't the application isn't to increase areas of fill by 2.8 metres. It's the level beyond the what was existing in 2017 is 2.8 metres more.
Okay, thank you. No, I have no further questions at the moment.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Chairman. What I'd just like to check is that there are comments that have been put in by the design advisor, and there's so many conditions here. I'd just like to ask the officers, have the design advisor's recommendations been incorporated into the conditions? And that's for dealing with change in levels to provide low brickwork retaining wall between them. For, an appropriate facility. That's under page 37.
Yeah, no, that's
okay. Okay, so on page 35, yeah. There's reference to the design officer's comment in the first paragraph, detailing in terms of the retaining walls or means of enclosure that are required would need to form part of the wider landscaping scheme that's secured on condition 56. So condition 56 is an existing condition on its permission.
Yes, I've got
that. The wording hasn't been amended, but it still allows the opportunity for those means of details of those, any means of enclosure to come forward under that scheme.
I think my question was through you, Chairman. Does paragraph 56 deal with the design advisor's recommendations, or does it allow a get-out clause for the developers at the date of actually developing the property? Is it too vague, in other words?
We need to, a scheme needs to come forward with all the details of the means of enclosure or any retaining walls to be considered at that time. So it gives us the same level of control over this as we had without this application.
Thank you.
Councillor Cooper?
Yeah, I'm just, it's interesting having the developer here with this situation where we get these changes on site without it going through our planners, like Councillor Trowbridge was just saying. Maybe this isn't the worst case, because we've seen changes from other developers. Well, how does the process happen that you guys know you are going to vary the levels to what's been agreed with the planners, yet you go ahead anyway without checking is this okay? To me, you just get the impression that there's a oh, well, just do it, we'll worry about the plans afterwards. It's kind of roughshod through, which I really object to, because we are the planning authority and we're kind of being taken the mick out of it.
Our decisions need to be respected.
Correct, that's beautifully put, Chair.
Would you like to comment on that? Because you can understand the committee's frustration that we do approve something and then something is done different and authorisation is sought retrospectively.
I totally respect the decisions. The change in the four levels previously came from a more detailed design from a final approved layout. The principles were laid out initially, but as you may appreciate, for 400 odd dwellings to fully design that in that finite detail every single time will take a large amount of time and resources. So we are respectful of the existing properties. That's always been an issue.
Yeah, I think what the committee is asking is that it doesn't want to be put into a position of applicants seeking retrospective authorisation. They want to be put in a situation that if you want to change what has been approved, that you come to the committee before you take action, not after you've taken action. And that is not unreasonable. I would have thought you could get your principals to agree to that in principle.
I think if I may, sir, all of our clients, and not today, we've been all part of the work for 99% of the time, we've not have come in retrospectively. It happens rarely, and you apologise for that, but what I will say is that the planning system does allow for it because sometimes it's necessary to do so.
Yeah.
But it's certainly by exception rather than.
I think the committee would welcome an assurance that you will use procedures that don't allow retrospective applications. Councillor Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My reading the report, my thought is that Taylor Wimpey were caught with their hands in the cookie jar by a resident.
Yes, they were.
And have then applied for this. That's fine. I'm just annoyed you, but just a general principle, not this application, but all applications. I dislike applications when people come back and ask conditions to be removed or varied. Unless they've expired, as far as I'm concerned, the application will be granted with those conditions. Now, if you want to take those conditions out, they should come back with another application that doesn't involve those conditions and ask for us to vote on them. It'll never happen. It just annoys me, that's all.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chairman, for your
time.
Okay.
Can we, if there's nobody else wishing to speak, are you proposing that we accept this, Councillor Beattie?
I propose.
Second.
I was just going to ask one other little question.
Go on.
I'm sorry. On this application, the houses that are affected on Castle Fields by those houses that have been built that are a metre higher than they should be, there's a walkway at the back of the houses, and the residents have been trying to get in touch with Taylor Wimpey over making that walkway finish the job that they promised to do in 2017, as in it's a gated walkway, and it's so that the residents can get to the back of their property to maintain their hedges and fences. And I do believe they've been back and forward in touch with someone at Taylor Wimpey, and the problem still isn't resolved. It's a very simple problem to resolve, and as long as you can promise me today that that is on its way to being resolved, I will happily vote this through as well.
Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Nodded his head to me. Thank you. Thank you.
So that will be what the councillor has requested. It will be done. Thank you.
That's just a promise.
So we have a seconder, Councillor Trowbridge. Oh, the proposal. Can I ask for those in favour of the proposal to show, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Those against? That is approved. Thank you. There's no other items on the agenda. That's it. Thank you very much for your attendance. This meeting has been slightly different to the previous. And thank you very much for coming and for making your presentations.
Thank you.
Thank you.